Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Maseches Kiddushin Chaf Dalet. We got up to the last line on Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, and yesterday at the end of the Daf we discussed an interesting question. Is it possible for a wife to receive a gift and have that gift belong to her independent of her husband? So we know there are some things that she can own that are actually hers, even though she received them during marriage, because, let's say, nichsei maluk, right? Let's say she inherited something from her family. So these belong to her. He can access the produce, the peiros, but the actual principle, the field or the house belongs to her. Here we're speaking about a gift. Let's say somebody grants her something, gives her a gift, and says, look, I want it to be yours with a specific intent, a specific purpose, a specific function. So we discussed this yesterday. According to the Rabbanon, it can work by an Isha, or actually we're speaking more about an Eved here. So, you can give them something and have it stay with them and not be passed on to the husband, or in the case of the Eved, to the master. That's the Rabbanon Shita, and therefore you can use that money to go free, right, to bail himself out. Rab Meir disagrees. He says, impossible, it doesn't work. You give her a gift, it reverts to her husband. Asks the Gemara, we seem to have a contradiction between Rab Meir over here, who says it doesn't work, and Rab Meir elsewhere, who says, yeah, it belongs to her. And likewise, Estira in the Rabbanon, over here they say it stays by her, and elsewhere they say otherwise. Says the Gemara on the last line on Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, Rami will have a contradiction. Did Rabbi Meir, Adi Rabbi Meir, between Rabbi Meir over here and Rabbi Meir elsewhere. Virami de Rabbanon, Adi Rabbanon. The same thing with the Rabbanon. The Sanya. Ein Isha Poida Maser Sheni Bloi Chemish. We know that when a person redeems his Maser Sheni, so that's the part that you separate from your produce, meant to bring it up to your Shalayim, eat it there. If it's too difficult at the moment, you redeem it. You transfer the Kedusha to money. Typically, it's value for value, but if you're the owner, you're the actual farmer, then you have to add a chaymish, a fifth. But if a stranger does it, there's no fifth add on. Says the Braisa, Ein Isha Poy de Maser Sheni B'lei Chaymish. If an Isha does Pidyon, she redeems the Maser Sheni, which, as Rashi says, at this point in the Gemara is assumed to be coming from his field, his Maser Sheni, and she's doing the Pidyon sort of on his behalf, she must add a fifth. That's the Shitas Tanakama, the Rabbanon, because it's as though he's doing it, she's doing it for him. Rabbi Shimon ben Lazar, Oymer Mishum, Rabbi Meir. Oh, Rabbi Meir says, no, Isha Poyde Maser Sheni B'lei Chaymish, she can do it without a Chaymish. She need not add the add-on, because it's not really hers. And only the owner, the actual Baalim, is the one who's meant to add the fifth. Now, we're assuming it's his produce, it's his fruit, but whose money is it? Hechidami, ilam mevzuzi, the Baal, umasr, the Baal. Money is his, fruit is his. Well, of course you have to add a fifth. She's just doing it for him. Right? She's just doing a task for him on his behalf. It's really his pidyon. It's all his. Shlichus de Baal ka'avda, of course, you had a fifth. Ve'el mezuzi de da. We're speaking about her money. Umasha de day and his fruit. Well, in this case, of course, there is no fifth add on. Ish amarachmona, the pasuk says. Ve'im goyl yigal ish mimasra, the actual owner. But below Ish, not the Ish who's doing it for him. With her money, it's her transaction. There's no fifth. So, what's going on? El alav. Oh, it must be speaking kai gavna, this type of case. It's his farm, it's his fruit, but the money is sort of hers, not hers. That's the question here. That's the machlekes. Do we treat it as hers or not? And what's the case? Exactly our situation. Somebody gave it to her and said, look, here, take some money, which is not meant, really meant for your own consumption. It's not really yours. It's yours only to be used for this purpose. That's the question. Does it stay hers for this purpose, or does it revert to being his? Kiai gafna, the akni la acher, a stranger walked over and gave her money. Money, he gave her money. Va'amalai tells her, Almanas, I'm giving it to you on condition shift, tifti boy es hamaser. You can only use it for one purpose. Take this money and redeem the maser as though it's yours, as though it's your transaction, and don't have to add a fifth. The ifcha shamanalu and the shitas here are exactly the reverse, exactly the opposite of before. Because here we're saying that when a person gives her something with this in mind, with this tanai, with this condition, Ramir says, yeah, it works. It stays her money for this purpose, and it's her transaction. There's no chaimish needed. And the Rabbanan say, no. It becomes his money. Whatever she gets is his. And it's basically his transaction, which is exactly the opposite of yesterday's Gemara, where Ramir says it goes over to him. Rabbanan say it stays by her. Amar Abaye, you're right, we're stuck. Eifach, we have to switch around the names here. And we'll make this price match up with the previous sugi. Rav Amar Leil, my Seifach, you don't have to switch any names. You thought we're speaking about his farm, his master. No, it's her master, Shani, to begin with. A totally different case. V'acha b'master de asam b'nasha askinan. B'nasha is a term referring to her family. It's something she was yeresh. Her father passed away, and he had some master Shani, and now it went over to her. She owns the fruit. It's her nichsei melug. There's no question it's hers. But he has access to the to the peiros of the nichsei melug. So in this case, it's a ready fruit. But basically, you treat it as principal. You have to take it and sell it and reinvest that money from which he can take benefits and produce. Question, what status does this master Shani have? For Rav Meiru says that it does not revert to him. It's her fruit, and therefore it's her transaction. Because he's going like his shita, the Amar. Master Shani Momin Hegdeshu. It's a big machlekes. How do we treat Master Shani? Is it personal belongings, which you just have to, treat a certain way? You have to eat it in Yerushalayim or redeem it, but it's really yours. Ramir says no. Momin Hegdeshu, it's holy. It has, there's a Gersa Momin Gavoyahu. It belongs to heaven. It's Hashem's product. It doesn't really personally belong to you. It's yours to a certain extent. It's yours to look after it, to eat it properly, but it's technically Hashem's property, so to speak. Mamen gavoyahu. The owner is not the husband. The husband does not get it. It's not like your typical, nichsei melug, which when she gets goes to him for, to a certain extent, basically, that he can get the produce, he can benefit from it. No, here it stays with her, and when she redeems, it's her redemption, and she's an owner, and therefore there is a chaimish. Sorry. Let's correct that. So Rashi adds that it's master gavoya, right? So it's not really his. But one more thing, I forgot this point. Whose money is it? So Rashi says now we're switching that as well. It's his money. Okay? So the fruit is basically hers, given to her, from Shemayim to look after. But the money was provided by the husband. So now when she's redeeming the Master Shani with his money, the money belongs to one person, the Master to somebody else. It's not the same person doing it, so it's not considered the owner's redemption, and there is no Chaimish. That's Rameir Shita. For Rabbanan the Tamayu de Amri Momen Heditu. Rabbanan are following their shita elsewhere. Master Shani is considered personal property. In this case, she's Yeris de Master Shani, goes straight to the husband to look after, to benefit from, to get the produce. He reinvests it, right, to get the pay, rest the payers. Like any other Nichsa Malug. And whose money is being used to redeem it? His money. It's basically his transaction. There's Chaimish. Okay, let's see the words. Rabbanan Tamayu de Amri Momen Heditu. The Master Shani reverts to his ownership. So now when she's using his money on his fruit, it's basically doing him a job. Representing him. It's his task. His redemption. His pidyon, therefore there's a chaimish. So bottom line is, we thought we had a steerer, because here, when it comes to Pidyon Maaser Sheni, Tanakama say, there is no way to get out of the Chaimish. It's the owner's transaction. Rameir says, yeah, you can skip the Chaimish. Initially we thought, it's his fruit. Well, if it's his money, then of course there's a Chaimish. If it's her money, there's no Chaimish. So what's the machlekes? Somebody gave her the money to be used for this purpose. One shita says it is considered her money. The other shita says it's his money. And it seems to be a contradiction between this sugi and the previous sugi. Abai says switch the names. Rava says no, we're speaking about his money, but her fruit. She was yerush the fruit. But it was already Master Shani when she was yerush it, when she got it. Rameir holds Mama in Hegdish. It doesn't revert to his ownership. So it's her fruit and his money. Pidyon was not executed by the owner. There's no chaimish. Rabbanan say it goes over to his ba'alus. It's his ownership. It's his fruit. His fruit, his money. There's chaimish. Continues the Gemara. Tana, we have an abraisa. Other methods of an Evet Kanani leaving the ownership of this master. So in the Mishnah we spoke about the Evet Kanani leaving through Kesef, through bailout, through Shtar. Here come another couple of methods, which are pretty much the same idea. Tana Yotze B'Shein V'Ein V'Roshei Yivarim Shein An Choizer. So the pasuk clearly tells us that when the owner damages his tooth, his eye, he goes free, and the Gemara will add Roshei Yivarim as well. Roshei Yivarim is a term used to describe other limbs. So literally it means the tips of his, you know, his Yivarim, his fingertips, his toe tips, which were harmed, which were damaged. Shein An Choizrim, all these do not grow back, they do not regenerate. They're permanently damaged limbs, and if they were damaged by the owner, by the master, he goes free. So here's another method of freedom. Bishlam Shein V'ayin Ksivi. Now, Shein V'ayin are clearly articulated in the Pasuk. Look at the Pasukim, it says, if the owner damages his eye, his tooth, he goes free. What about the other ones? Ela Rosh Yivarim Minon. How do we know that? Dumi de Shein V'ayin, we compare it to Shein V'ayin. Ma Shein V'ayin. Just like Shein V'ayin, Amum and Shebegoli. They're visible blemishes. They're exposed. V'ayin on Chayzim. They don't reheal. They don't grow back. Avkoi, likewise, any other similar type of injury, Mum and Shebegoli V'ayin on Chayzim, allow him to go free. Why, says the Gemara? Ve'ema, perhaps we shouldn't say. The fact that the Pasuk mentions Shein and Ayin, which is almost like a repetition, would indicate to us that only these specific injuries trigger freedom. Otherwise, why mention both? You can just learn one from the other, right? And just these and nothing else. Ve'ema, nihavu Shein ve'ayin, kishnei ksuvim habayim ke'echad. There are two psukim which are pretty much repeating the same idea. And we know that when that happens, we don't extend it to elsewhere. No, really, it's not a repetition because each one carries a novelty, a chiddush. Each one is teaching us something. Therefore, we have to say both. The Torah only mentioned the shein. I mean, I would say, even a baby tooth. It's called shein the chalav, which is belonging to a katan, who nurses. So basically, even that one, which is slated for departure in any case, I would think that also qualifies. Kosev Rachmona Ein. That's why the Torah adds the eye. No, it has to be something that is not meant to fall out. V'kosev Rachmona Ein. If the Torah only writes the Ein, Avamin, I would say, Ma'ayin Shnivra Imoy. What's unique about his eye? He was born with it. The original Aver is there. Av kol shenivir imoy. So, anything else also has to have that criterion. It has to have been born with him. Av l'shein loy, but not a tooth, which came later. Perhaps that doesn't qualify. Tzricha. That's why the pasuk saw a need to mention both. It's not a repetition. And therefore it allows us to extend it to include other Rosh Eivarim. Now, ve'ema, perhaps we should say like this. Don't expand, don't include. Limit it to Shein V'ayin. Why? Ki yake klal. Pasuk says, V'chi yake ishes ein avdoi, oyes ein amosai, v'shichas tzah, destroyed it, l'chavshi yishalchenu tachas ein. Why don't we use the klal and prat formula to limit it to only these two specific things? V'eimo ki yake. Ki yake means, he struck him. In any manner. Klal. A general term. Any type of injury. Shein v'ayin, when the pasuk continues, shein v'ayin, it's a prat. It's a limited form of energy. Only these injuries. And what happens when we have a klal and a prat? Klal or prat, eim chal, mashal or prat. Torah is only alluding to those specific instances. Shein v'ayin in, only a shein v'ayin that I injured. Allow his release. Mid yachrin alay, but not other types of injuries. So why don't we just limit it? The answer is, the pasuk comes back and broadens it. Achav shei shalchenu, which is at the end of the pasuk. Chazar v'kolal. That's another expression of klal. Inclusive, general, klal uprato klal, which gives us the klal uprato klal formula, which tells us, yeah, expand it. Yatadan elkein aprat. We can add others which are similar to the itemization. Ma prat mafurish mum shebegoli ve'enon chayzrim. What's specific and unique about the klal, about the prat, about the shein ve'ayin? They're exposed, they're visible, and they don't grow back. It's permanent. Same thing regarding other injuries. Af koil mum shebegoli ve'enon chayzrim. If you fit that criteria, if you're mum shebegoli, you don't regenerate, it's a permanent damage, then you're good to go. So that's the Gemara, but we have one more element found in the prat. Aside from being visible and exposed and, you know, permanent, it's when he knocks out his eye is no longer functioning. It's disabled. Same thing with his tooth. So perhaps that condition is needed as well to qualify for release. Perhaps you need three conditions. And if so, we have a kasha, alamatanya, but the Brisa says, you don't need batal malachta. Let's say the owner pulled on his beard very violently, talash beziknoi, v'dilda b'yetzim, and he dislocated some sort of minor bone along his jaw area, which is certainly a terrible injury, a permanent injury, but he can still eat, he can still function. What does the Brisa say? Does he go free? Yep, evid yetzim l'cheres. Why? There's no bitum malacha. Answers the Gemara. You know what? Instead of doing the klal or prato klal, which limits our ability to expand, because it has to be similar to the, very similar to the items mentioned, we'll revert over to the formula called ribui miyut and ribui formula, which basically means inclusive, exclusive, and then inclusive, which allows you to add much more. Because it doesn't really have to be so similar to the to the examples mentioned. You just want to exclude something which is totally out of whack, totally, you know, in left field. But as long as it resembles somewhat the items mentioned, you're okay. So you don't need to, you know, fit the bill 100%. So it's basically a more inclusive type of formula. L'chavshi shalchenu ribuyahu. So it's a lashon of inclusive. It's an inclusive lashon. So we have inclusive, exclusive, inclusive, which allows us to include much more. As long as it's mum shebegali, it's exposed and visible and it's permanent. Asks the Gemara, who says you need permanence? V'iribuyuhu, if you come to include, afili kayo al yadiv etzamsa v'sefer lachshar nami. Suppose he struck him on his hand, it shriveled, it sort of, you know, disabled it temporarily. It's going to come back and, you know, be functional again. Maybe that also qualifies for freedom. Alamatani, we have a brayso which says not so. Hiko al yodav at some sort of a seifa lachzer. It's going to, you know, be back in service soon. Ain never dietsa b'lachirus. Why not? Who says you need permanence? Imkein shein v'ayin ma'yahanali. Because otherwise you're including so many things. Then what's the point of even mentioning shein v'ayin? Right. So the fact that Torah writes both shein and ayin. Say the Mefarshim indicates that you need something exposed and also something which creates a permanent and lasting condition, as opposed to something which is just temporarily. So, bottom line is, the evidence is Yetzel Cheres by Shein Ve'ayin, and other Evarim, as long as it's Mumshe Begaloi and it's permanent. Tana Rabbanan. Next question. He goes free, but how quick? Does he need a release document? Do you have to give him a get shichur, or is it just, out? Tana Rabbanan, we have three shittes. Nikulam. In all these situations, Eved, Yoitzim, and Lecheris, as long as he gets that injury, he's free. Vitzarek et shichur, but he needs a get shichur. Divir Rameh, Rabshimen. Rameh Emer, no, ain't a tzarek, you don't need a shtar. This is his ticket to freedom. Rav Elazar Mitzarek, he needs, Rav Tafanayim, ain't a tzarek, he doesn't need, Rav Kiva Mitzarek. HaMachrim, Rav Nechacham, there were certain Tanaim who were there and who tried to compromise, and they did strike a middle ground. Oimrim, they said like this, Nirin Divir Rav Tarif M'Shem V'Ayin. We adopt Rav Tarif and Shita when it comes to Shem V'Ayin. The Torah grants him that freedom. It's a beferish pasuk in the Torah. You don't need a get. But v'divir v'kiva b'shar ivarim. When it comes to other forms of injury, we go through v'kiva's shita. You need to get shichur. It's just a penalty applied by the chachamim against the owner for doing this thing. And a get is required. Really, knas chachamahu? What do we just said? It's a pasuk. Kroy kodashin. It's all based on drashas. We didn't make it up. Elo hayel midrash chachamahu. You're right. It was taught by the Chachamim, it's a drasha, and Taisa says, there's a chashash, and maybe it's not so well known, and the owner might, bump into him in the street, and says, you're my Eved, what are you doing running around free? So, we want to avoid that uncomfortable situation, and therefore we give him a get. Ha'il midrash Chachamim. Okay, let's touch on the core of the machlekes. He gets injured. He's entitled to go free. Why would you need to get shichur? Why would you not need to get shichur? My time with the Rav Shimon that you need to get shichur. Dar yalef shiluach meisha. He has a gzeirah shava. It says shiluach over here. Lachav sheishalchenu. It says a similar lashon by get isha. V'shilcha mebeisoy. And we say, ma isha b'shtar, af evadam b'shtar, just like there a shtar is needed, here as well. Rameir disagrees. You don't need a shtar over here, Rameir. Because of chafshil basayim. If the pasuk would have mentioned the word chafshi at the end, ishal chenu la chafshi, could the ka'amris, it would make, I would follow your sheet. I would agree with you because then it would indicate that he would have to set him free. He would only go free with a shtar. Because of chafshi l'basayif, it would say the word chafshi at the end. Kilka amrsa would say yishalchenu lo chafshi means that if he does yishalchenu, right? If he does the shtar, which is yishalchenu, right? Lo chafshi. That's how he goes free. So a shtar is needed. But hash the ksiv l'chafshi l'yishalchenu. But now it goes the other way. It says l'chafshi yishalchenu. To freedom he will send him. Have a l'chafshi mikara. That sounds like l'chafshi happens independent of the shiluach, of the shtar. He's already gone l'chafshi because of the injury that he experienced. And now yishalchenu, he just sends him off. He doesn't need more than just the injury. Tana Rabbanan. He kowal einoy v'sama. So now we're going to have different types of situations, which some qualify for freedom, some don't. Okay, so he koa ala enoi v'sima. The master struck him on his eye and blinded him. Al ozne v'cherisha, over his ear, and he made him deaf. Eved yoytze b'hen l'cherus. So this entitles him to go free, right? But let's say it wasn't directly on his eye or on his ear. He made a loud bang nearby, and it frightened him, and caused this condition. Kineged einoy, ve'einoy roya, made this loud bang nearby and somehow blinded him. Kineged oznei v'nishma, near his ear, and it made him deaf. In these cases, ein eved, yoytze b'hen l'cheres, he doesn't go free. Because we don't, it seems at this point that we don't hold it's not a direct, let's put it this way, it's not a direct hezek coming from the master. It's sort of just like a causation, a grammar. And therefore he's potter. We have a kash on this from a Gemara in Bava Kama. Listen to this. Amar Rav Shaman l'Ravashi. L'neimra de kol lav klumu. Do you mean that making loud sounds and bangs and noises are not considered an act of hezek? You're not responsible for that? Lav klumu? Batani Rami Bar Yecheskel. He teaches us that a tarnagel, let's say a rooster or a chicken, shayishet roishay lavir klis chuchis, plucked his head into the glass container, v'tokaboy, and he started crowing, started making noise. And that sharp sound actually collapsed. It cracked the glass. V'shibra, mishal nezek shalom, has to pay fully. Even though he didn't directly strike the glass, it was his the sound waves that did it. V'amar b'yisiv, amar b'yirav, another halacha, sus shatana, v'chamar shanar. A horse made a sound, a chamar, a donkey brayed, shanar, so they made that sound, v'shibru kalim, they broke the kli, v'seich habayis in the house, v'shamam chasin nezek, they have to pay half of the damages. Well, this is actually a big machlekes in Bava Kama, because it's called tsureiros. Tsureiros means pebbles. So basically, whenever it's a damage inflicted directly, basically, like he steps on something, that's a full payment. But when the animal, shoots something, like a pebble, that's a machlekes there, whether it results in 50% payment, 100% payment, and this is like tsureiros, because it's not a direct physical damage. It was something of a medium, right? He shot his airwaves at the kli. So that's a side point. The question is 50% or 100%, but either way, we hold him accountable. The owner of the animal has to pay for it. So why is it that by the Eved we say otherwise? If he hits him directly, he goes free. But if it's indirectly, by way of a sound wave, by way of frightening him, that doesn't qualify. Why? Why is it different than the chicken? Amalis, he says, big difference. Shani has Adam. A person is different. When a person is a victim, if he's struck directly, there's no way out. But when it comes through fright, through fear, there is an emotional factor involved. And as difficult as it may, as it really is to resist it. Well, we're not really saying, practically it's so easy, but technically speaking, a person could just turn the other way. A person could resist. A person could deflect that fear if he's really, really on top of his game. So ultimately, the Eved, sort of could have gotten out of it. Could have ignored that frightening sound. Amo yishan li'adam, dekivin debar da'asu. He has da'as. He has self-control. He could have ignored it. Iu mivis nafshei. Interesting. I'll just read Rashi inside. About halfway down the Amid. Shani Adam of the Bardasu. Hai Nizek. This Eved who was injured, he's a Bardas. Vichi mivis. Midate ka mivis. Why, says Rashi? Shenoisen liboy. He pays attention. El pachat koil habo pisam. He's paying attention because technically, if you'd be totally immersed in something else, I mean, it's unlikely and almost, impractical. But if he's totally focused and totally immersed in something else, he wouldn't be noticed. He wouldn't get frightened. So, technically speaking, he sort of contributed to what happened, or he didn't resist this experience, and therefore, technically speaking, you can't hold the master fully responsible, and therefore he doesn't go free. Kedesan, you have a similar halacha, mavis es chaveroi. If one scares, frightens his friend, as terrible as it is, pater medini adam, v'chay medini shemayim. So, in Bezdin, they can't obligate him. Although in Shemayim, they hold him accountable. But down here in this world, we only deal with, physical phenomena, not emotional, etc. Keitza, for instance, taka ba'aznai v'chir shei pater. So let's say he yelled into his ear. Okay? So, and then he turned deaf because of it. Right? So he's potter. So he blows into his ear and he makes a loud noise. He's potter because he didn't actually physically hold his ear when he did it. But ach zohu v'taka b'aznei, but if he's actually holding onto his ear and he blows into it, he makes that noise, v'chir shoy chayiv, then he is chayiv for deafening him, because here there was a physical, you know, component to it. He actually, you know, held onto his ear. Somehow that's considered more direct, more physical, and he is accountable. Very interesting, fascinating Gemara. So, you know, although the truth is, I said we don't deal with emotional, it's untrue, because, you know, Bo-Kama, we have payment for Nezik and Boishas as well, you know, shame and embarrassment. So technically there is an emotional accountability, but he was speaking that the whole thing was never really direct and, you know, physical. It was just a sort of an indirect Hezek, which Rashi says technically could have been resisted and deflected by the victim. So as terrible as it is, and the Gemara says he's chayv b'din yishamayim, there's no question about it. But in terms of Olam Hazeh and Chayshe Mishpat, he's potter, and likewise by the Eved, he doesn't go free. Interesting Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Hikoal Einoi V'Chasa. Okay, here comes another interesting case. So he hits him over his eye, and it didn't blind him completely. It weakened his eye. So Rashi says, Lo Nismis L'Gamri, it's not fully blind, but he can still use it somewhat. Roye V'Mikzas. Similar case with the tooth. Al Shina, he hit him over his tooth. V'Nadada, and sort of, you know, made it shaky. Does he go free or not? Oh, it depends if it's still functional or not. Im yachol yishtamash behen, achshav, if the Eved can still use these items, ein Eved yoytze b'necheres, he doesn't go free. So although he severely damaged these limbs, but they're still functional, no freedom. Vim la, but if they're not functional, then Eved Yetzir and Necheres, he goes free. So basically taking the ayin or the shein and turning them into, you know, shaky items and barely functional items. So it depends. If they're still functional, fine. But otherwise, they go free. He goes free. And Rashi explains, even though he's not yet really blind, right? It means to say that he's partially blind, but he can still use that, still functional, still providing. He can still, it's still considered Re'iya, Rashi says Re'iya b'miktsas, right? So he can still function with it. That's enough. He doesn't go free. Same thing with the tooth. But otherwise, if it's not, there's not enough eyesight there to be considered a functioning eye. Same with the tooth. He goes free, even though technically it's still, you know, seeing something, and the tooth is still, you know, somewhat functioning. Tani idach. We have another brisa, a similar brisa. So let's say this fellow's eye was already partially, you know, blinded, and now he totally blinded. He had a shaky tooth, and now the master totally knocked it out. So he went from sort of, you know, 20% functionality to zero. So the question is, was he able to use it before? When it was at the 20% state? Was it functional or not? So if it was functional, and now the other rendered it non-functional, he took it from 20 to 0, from useful to unuseful, Eved Yoitzman Lecheres, that's enough reason for freedom. But otherwise, it wasn't functioning to begin with, and he didn't really, you know, do much when he damaged it. Ein Eved Yoitzman Lecheres. So, basically, we have two cases where the Eved goes free. The first case, he took it from 100% functionality to 20, but it's not really functioning anymore. Right? Let's make it more simple. He took it from 100 to 10%, and it's not really considered a functioning entity. He goes free, even though it's still, you know, functioning somewhat, but it's not a functional, it's not a properly functioning entity. He can't really see with it. He can't use it. He goes free. In case B, he took it from 20%, was already severely damaged, but it was still really functional. It was at 20%, which is past the threshold of functionality. It was 20%. He took it down to zero. Here as well, he goes free. Now, why mention both cases, which are pretty much you know, repeating the same idea. V'yitzricha, both are needed. Each one has a chiddush. D'i ashminach kamaisa, we only discuss case one, right? We took him from 100% to 10%. Mishum d'mi yikara nahir bari. I would say there it works. There he goes free because initially it was a properly functioning eye. Let's say we're talking about the eye now. V'ashta nahir kachisha. And now, you know, he can't really use it. It's so weak that he can't really use it. So he goes free. But in this second case, where, you know, to begin with, it was pretty weak. It was weak to begin with. It was at 20%. So just because he took it down to zero, perhaps he doesn't go free. That's what we need that case as well. Yep, that qualifies. And if we only discuss case two, when he took it from, you know, 20 to zero, Mishum Dasami Lagamra, because he totally blinded him. So he really damaged it. Avalasim, but in case one, where he took it from 100 to 10, the Lay Sami Lagamra, he didn't blind him completely. So the end result is not full blindness. Emalay, perhaps, it doesn't qualify. Tricha, that's why both are needed. Tana Rabbon. Harei Shoye Rabbi Reife. So his master was a eye doctor or a dentist. V'amrlay, and he ever turns to him and says, you know what, I'm having some eye trouble. I'm having some cavity in my teeth. Could you please look after it? Can you please, you know, insert some eye remedy? And the operation didn't go too well. This someone, he blinded him. Or in the case of the tooth. He says, can you just, you know, work around my teeth? And, you know, it turns out that he removed the tooth. V'pila. Sichayk ba'adayn. So the Eved gets the upper hand. It's like sort of he laughed off the Adin. It was sort of a trick. He goes free. So the Eved got lucky. Because ultimately the Adin damaged his tooth or his eye. Even though he had good intentions. Rabbi Shimon Le Lemer, no. When he meant well, he's trying to help him. That's not a reason for freedom. Even though he overdid it and he mistakenly knocked out his tooth or his eye. Rav Shimon Lilema v'shichasa. The pasuk describes it as v'shichasa. He destroyed it. Achi iskaven l'shachsa. He intended on destroying, but otherwise not. V'rabbanon ha'v'shichasa ma'avdli. The other sheet of the rabbanon who disagree. What do I do with this pasuk? It's coming for a different case where he totally was not even going there. He was involved in a different realm of activity. And inadvertently, it resulted in this eye or tooth being damaged. As opposed to this case where he was actually handling the eye and the tooth. And once he damaged it, he goes free. But in the next case where he was totally uninvolved with this fellow's eye or his tooth, and somehow inadvertently, it resulted in damaging those items. Then the pasuk says, "V'shichasa." Well, this is different. He does not go free. Rabbanai v'shichasa me'avdlei me'boy look at this sanya for the following brisa. Rabbi Zoimer, harisha hayshet yaday l'me'eshiv chasay v'sima uber shabimaya. So this guy is helping his maidservant give birth, inserts his hand into her womb, and he's trying to help out with the childbirth, and he mistakenly, inadvertently, blinds the fetus. Pater. So he's pater, which means to say that the Eved will not go free. Why? My time. Makra. Vishichasa. Has to be an act of destruction. Achi yichav l'shachsa. Here he's trying to help out. He was totally uninvolved in anything close to destroying, and he wasn't even involved with the eye. So therefore, he's potter. As opposed to the previous case where he was involved with the eye. So if he made a wrong move, he's accountable and he goes free. V'idach. Now what does the first shita, Rabban Shimon Liel, do with this pas? How does he know both things? Basically, we have two levels here. Totally uninvolved, and there was damage inflicted, and partially involved, and damage inflicted. So going to Rabbanan, only in the totally uninvolved case, like the Uber, we say, well, damage inflicted is not held against him. V'shichasa. According to Shmuel Gamliel, not only that, but even partial involvement, which results in damage, does not qualify. How does he know that as well? It's two separate levels, two separate chidushim. V'idach, because he has two drushes. V'shichas, it could have said v'shichas, destruction, an act of destruction. Shichasa, the extra hay. So nafka, we learn from both drushes that both cases are exempt. V'idach, the other shita says, shichas olidorish. He doesn't focus on the hay, that's just a form of expression. We only have one miut to address the case of the Adin, who was helping with the childbirth and totally uninvolved, totally unrelated to the eye. In that case, damage inflicted is not chayev. Amar Rav Sheshes. Harisha haisa eino yisimuya. Suppose the Eved's eye was already blind. V'chitata, and the Adin went ahead and removed the eye. So he didn't actually blind him, but he removed the eye. Eved, yoytze ben lecheres, is considered a significant, you know, deterioration in his condition. He actually made him a real visible, you know, balmum. And he goes free. My taima, mechusar eiveru. Now he's missing a limb, and that's considered a serious change of status. V'tana, and we have our tana. Tuna, v'tana, as was learned, tuna by our tana. Basically, we have arrived from a tana to this point. From a totally different topic, carbonis. We know that animal carbon, has to be unblemished, and sometimes it has to be a zachar, a male. Tamas v'zachus v'behema. By behema, the concept of zachar and tam apply. V'ein tamas v'zachus ba'ifos, they don't apply to birds. They don't have to have these qualifications. Yochel, perhaps, I'll take it a step further. Yavashel gapa. It's totally, you know, missing a wing, this wing dried up, nikta ragla, missing a leg, missing an eye. Can that be used? No, that's already going too far. Only some birds can be used. Properly functioning birds. Not everybody. So we see clearly that even if the concept of mum doesn't apply to a bird, let's say, you know, his eye is blinded. That's okay, Rashi says, even if his eye is samui. But once he removes that eye, it's called a mechusar eiver, it's a totally new status. Likewise by the Eved. Removal of his eye constitutes a new status. Mechusar eiver, that highlights his blemish and allows him freedom. Amar Chibar Ashim, Amar Rav, another Allah, Aisri Loi. The Eved had an extra finger, Yeseris. V'chatchan, the other removed it. Eved, Yoitzi, Ben Lecheris, that qualifies for freedom. Even though it was an extra finger, but now it's missing. It's a visible mum. Amar Rav Huna Vushin Nisferes Al Gavayad, provided that that extra finger was Nisferes Al Gavayad, could be counted amongst the other fingers, sort of on the same row, and therefore it is considered a finger like the other ones, and removal is considered Mechusar Eiver, Mum Shebegali Vein Chayzer, which sets him free. Okay, that's it for today. Let's review today's daf. We have a sugi about the Maser Sheni, the Pidyon Maser Sheni. We had a stira between there and our Gemara. We had two ways to explain it. We moved on to the Yetzia B'Shein V'Ayin and Rashi Yivarim Shein U'Chayzrim. And we learned through the Klal Prat, the Ribo Yimiyot V'Ribo, that not only Shein V'Ayin qualifies for Yetzia L'Cheres, and the other Mum Shebegoli, which is permanent, V'Ayin U'Chayzer, qualifies as well. Does he need to get shichrur? Well, we have three shitas, yes, no, and sometimes. We learned that only direct damage qualifies, but not by way of sound and airwaves. That's only by the adam, as opposed to by the hezek coming from an animal to a, you know, inanimate object. Of course, even that type of hezek qualifies. We discussed various levels of eyesight and hearing abilities and what qualifies for yitzhi l'cheres, what doesn't. We discussed intent. So if he was totally uninvolved and inadvertently there was some sort of damage, he's putter. But if there was involvement, but indirect involvement, such as tending to his eye and his tooth and resulted in damage, we have machlekes in terms of whether he's yoytze lecheres. A blinded eye which was removed is considered mechusar eiver and is yoytze lecheres. An extra finger, which results in visible damage as well. All the best to you. Psurus Toivis and Atzlacha Rabbah.